Blog Talk Radio.
In a few words, I would say love, compassion, empathy, adventurous, nostalgic.
Good evening and welcome to Soul Purpose Healing, a special edition of Blog Talk tonight. We're talking about sharpening your intuition tonight. And that was Brother Wes Ricks playing a beautiful flute tune. And I love his response to who am I? And that's kind of where we're going tonight is who are we and do we have the intuition to deal with the times that we're in? And Brother Wicks says he is love and compassion and empathy, and we have to all be exhibiting those qualities in these days as we want to learn how to respond to all the events that are going to occur on this earth. We want to respond, not react, but respond with love, compassion, wisdom, overstanding, understanding, and comprehending. That's our goal. And so tonight, my sister, Mama AZ, is here with me tonight to give honor and respect to her mother, who was born on this day, and to share her memories of her mother and some of the lessons that she's learned that we can all benefit from even today, because we can hear our mothers' voices all our lives, no matter if they're on the earth or not. And that's what we want to discuss tonight, is how we sharpen our intuition and our spiritual insight to deal with the events that are coming on this earth and that are now here, in fact. Many people are in survival mode. And so we want to not just survive, we want to thrive, and we can do that when we sharpen our intuition. So Mama AZ, welcome to this podcast of Sharpening Your Intuition. How are things in Arizona?
Cold, but it's not snowing.
And
I'm in my room under my blankets with my little heater and doing my best to keep this metal warm, because when I get cold, this metal gets cold, and I tell you, it's a journey of discomfort. It's a journey.
And you know when that just reminds me of this whole discussion we're about to have, is when you recognize your body is cold or your body is discomfort or uncomfortable, you respond with love. You give your body more blankets. You give your body more oils. You anoint your body. You love. You talk to your body. So that's what we're talking about now, is learning how to respond with love and compassion, no matter what our parents taught us or what we learned as children. We want to go into a Wes Ricks mode. I remember Wes Ricks, when you introduced me to him. He came on the show live. I didn't have his CD yet. And he came on the show and played his flute right on the show for the first time live. And I thought that was such an amazing gesture for him to do that. So I thought of him tonight when you wanted to do this show. Wes Ricks, he's a beautiful brother.
You know what, sister? I tell you, for the listening audiences, greetings, everybody. I wanted you to play Green Onions. However, the brother's wife, who's on the other side, Wes Ricks, his wife, my mom, had you to intuitively find that one. I'm talking about the brother's wife, who left the building on Valentine's Day, I believe. It's in his CD. He talks about his wife and his journey. And like I said, Booker T and the MGs, Green Onions, that was my mom. She played, oh, my God. However, not for this discussion. And wouldn't you know, this is what I'm talking about, Sister Viata. You know how to pull stuff out of the ethers. I'm not one to express it. I physically do it. That's the only way I know how to express it. However, ones like you know how to pull stuff together. That is why we reconnected. And you heard that brother's wife from the other side. And you heard my mom from the other side. Not green onions today. This is so powerful to me, sister, the love that you have to even be kind enough to do this show, because I'm going to tell you, for 5 years, five, refinement, five represents refinement, pulling the onion layers away. Every December for 5 years, maybe even longer, I have been noticing from the 11th parent pop from the other side and give me messages. And by you doing this show, it has given me the opportunity to not only share with others how to fine-tune your intuition and know that you know that you know that you know that you know that you're not out to lunch, you're not crazy, that you are hearing those ancestors, those loved ones from the other side. All we must do is pay attention. Because like I said earlier, my mom and my dad have been giving me messages, and especially around this time of their Earth Day, I really get messages, and my intuition is really strong. And I give thanks, Sister Viata, that you are even allowing me to do this. And I'm encouraging others that if you think you see a flicker of your parents or your loved ones, doesn't necessarily have to be your parents. It could be your brother, your sister who's over there on the other side. Or it could be a child that you lost or whatever. If you think you've got a little flicker, or you sense that somebody is standing there or sitting there, trust that. You're not crazy, because the shifting of this planet allowing us to learn how to fine-tune our intuition, our GPS systems, to know that these dear ones are popping in to call your attention to something. And we must pay attention. And what I have found out, especially this week, dealing with Standing Rock and many other things that have been going on in my life, that there's a major shift and the veil is getting thinner, all and thinner, almost to the point that these two worlds are being intertwined seriously. And sometimes we have to turn off the TV, we have to turn off the contraptions, meaning the computers, the Wi-Fi, as this lady calls it on the Palladians. She doesn't say Wi-Fi, she say Wi-Fi, you know, and get mm-hmm. out in nature mm-hmm. and put your feet in the earth, or on the earth, the grass, and hug a tree, because that is helping you to ground so that you can hear what these dear ones, what your ancestors are communicating to you and to them. Have a conversation or a reasoning with them and let them know that you need help, and you be open to that help in a good way. And why I'm so convinced or solid in this thinking is because of what has happened. Even with you, Sister Viata, hearing and popping up with Wes Rick's song. Because this is major. This is major. And like when I get these messages, I'm thinking, like, am I crazy? Or did I just hear that? Don't kick it to the curb or shove it under the rug. You take heart. And if you're not sure what entity it may be from, go here. I'm not here for bullshit. If this is for my greatest good and the good for of all humanity, I will listen. Otherwise, you get the hell on out of Dodge and leave me the hell alone, because I have no time for nonsense. Talk to them just like that, and I guarantee you, they will leave you alone. And if it is for your greatest good and the greatest for mankind, you will not be left alone. Your intuition will get stronger and stronger and stronger. And please believe me, it doesn't matter what anybody else says about it. You know how your good is talking to you. So you move forth. You follow through.
Now, when you say the veil is getting, I want to clarify something. When you say the veil is getting thinner, that brings up a vision of the unseen and the seen. There's this partition between what we can see and what we cannot see, but we can feel and sense. So we're getting to the place you're saying where what we have thought of as angels or messengers from the cosmos or spirits of that we couldn't see but we might feel, that real reality is getting blurred, and we will be able to see things that we couldn't see in the past?
Yes. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am, Sister Viata. Yes, ma'am. And I am so grateful. I want to give a shout out to my daughter Shannon. I want to give a shout out to all of my relatives that choose not to connect with me. I've kind of basically been by myself and doing my healing work. And at first, sister, it really bothered my heart, you know, to have the connection. However, I'm seeing now what a blessing, because I don't have to deal with all of the drama, all of the smoking, all of this and that tears my body down. I don't have to deal with that. I can be silent so I can hear. And one thing that I do know, 2-3 years ago, I was introduced to Lee Carroll, who is a channeler, Chiron. He just popped up on my phone. And the rest is history. One major overstanding, inner standing, and common standing that he brought back to my remembrance is that when we leave the building or we cross over, that some of the essences is still here. And even before we come back to the planet as somebody else, we leave parts of ourselves over on the other side. And those other parts of us are assisting us in this mission. And as a little child, I always felt that. For some reason, even when the Ascended Master came to me in the closet, I'm remembering now this is one of the teachings that this particular ascended master shared with me, that you chose this assignment and you have lined up all the ones that are assisting you, including parts of your parents who are still here on the other side. You're working like a team, you know. And when Kryon shared that in one of his many, many YouTubes, I'm like, whoa, buddy. This buddy is reminding me of something that I already know. You see, we have a team. We're many mansions. We're many cells, you see. And even on this side, when somebody is giving us flack, some of their many cells are over on the other side helping to have the best outcome, what is best for the greater good or the whole. We may not be able to see that. However, time is now that we shut the hell up and listen. Get in a quiet space in nature and listen and listen. You know what, sister? I have found, okay, we use this little box. I discussed this with Brother Kwame the other night. And if you don't put money in it, go to the store to put money on this card and then put it back in the box, your lights will go out. Well, this happened to me a couple of times. And I've noticed that when the lights, when the electricity goes completely dead off, it's like I can hear, breathe. It's like a weight has been lifted from my shoulders, and I actually feel lighter because it's no electricity running through the building. And this is why it is so vital for us to be in green. I'm kind of off kilter because I'm in cactus country, and the vibration of many of the people here is cactus, thorny. And I'm not talking about roses, thorns on the roses. I'm talking about cactus. You have an intercourse with a cactus man. You're gonna know it. Them little things get all up in you and in your fingers and wherever you happen to have a romance with a cactus, you're gonna know it for a long time. Okay? And when you're not in greenery, there's less oxygen, there's more abrasiveness with the vibrations of the people. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
This is why it is vital, you know, to be in nature. And I'm waiting until the winter breaks to get back to Virginia and North Carolina to get my body centered, because it ain't happening here in cactus country. But that's okay. I'm learning, and I'm here because of the information that I'm gaining by being quiet and listening. So I give thanks to my mom that I asked for. I give thanks to my dad that I ask for, because no matter how crazy, chaotic my life was with my mom and my dad, but especially my mom, I understand. And because of this powerful sister who was sent to me by my dad, Dr. Stanley, Stephanie, she afforded me tools how to deprogram and learn to forgive my parents for all the bullshit. Give me a minute, sister, to wrap that concept around my head that I actually chose these people. However, at 64, going on 65, I'm totally overstanding and understanding and commonstanding the gifts that I received from these two powerful Sagittarian. My mom was schizophrenic, you name it, Indian crazy. Don't let her have a drink and went overboard. It was, I was taken to other dimensions, other worlds. However, out of that, it afforded me not to be an alcoholic. It afforded me not to use food. It afforded me so many things. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. The lessons that I got from these two very dynamic people who were Sagittarian. My mom's today, my dad's day after tomorrow, the 14th. So I listen. And not only my mom and my dad, there have been many other. Chief Frank Foolsgrove, Louis G. Gregory, Chief Joseph, many people, even Omega's dad, and just recently, Sika's dad made his transition. They're all here. Dr. Blair, Gilbert Blair, my friend, Brother Psyche, Terrence Lindsay is his name. All, and he's Sagittarian. I find that Sagittarian people who have been in my life, along with Taurian people, have been two of my most powerful teachers on the planet. These two individual signs, one of my most powerful teachers. Pay attention, people, because they are giving you information and you're not crazy. Thank us, sister. Thank us.
Yeah. You know, my dad is a Sagittarian as well. He was born the end of November, and I would have to agree with you on him being my greatest teacher as well. So many things in his life, over 92 years, that he has been able to share and still sharing, praise Yah, So he's been my greatest teacher, and he happens to be a Sagittarian. And it's funny how our history is so similar, that my mother was an alcoholic and her grandparents were Native American. And so there was a lot of depression, oh my goodness, in, with my mother, and low self-esteem. And so it makes you appreciate the struggle that the Native Americans have today to become sober and to come out of their depression. It's definitely here. But one of the first things, as you mentioned, that we have to do is forgive our parents, all the Natives and all of us who are listening. That's the first step. One of the first steps to healing yourself is forgiving your parents for any wrong you may perceive or think that they've done when they had imperfect parents, and then forgiving yourself if you're holding on to any forgiveness. Those two things are crucial in bringing health and wellness to the body, is parents first and then yourself.
You know, sister, back in the day, I had a chiropractor, Dr. Watkins, and he called me in one day, and he said, "Robbie, before you leave, I want to have a counsel with you. And if it's none of my business, you just put me in my place, and I'll humbly keep mind my business." He says, "But I want to let you look at these x-rays and show you what I'm seeing." And he says, I need for you to ask your parents about their alcoholism. And I said, "Well, my mom is on the other side, but my dad is still living at that time." And he says, "Well, you are 34, and you have bones of a 60 or 70-year-old person. The only thing that I know that can deteriorate your bones like this is alcohol. And I need to know for my own benefit if I'm reading these x-rays right." So I went home and had the opportunity, sister, to have a counsel with my dad. And he sit there and he cried. And he says, "Roberta, I would bring some of the most powerful alcohol that was $30 a bottle back in the day. And your mom was so stubborn, she would rather drink the 25-cent alcohol. And I knew you were going to have issues." And he cried like a baby. He cried like a baby. I never seen my dad cry like that. I didn't understand my dad. I'm still learning about him, because my dad is a Sagittarian. He loves women. He built every woman he had a house or took care of them. And my mama and him would fight all the time. And my mama shot him in the foot 5 times. And I hated my dad so, because of the way he was. I told him, I said, "You know, mama must have really loved you, because if I had been your wife, I would have killed your ass dead." And all he could do was just laugh. And I said, "I'm serious, Dad. I'm serious. You wouldn't be on the planet. So that woman must have really loved you." So to make a long story short, my dad, he would say, no matter what I would do, I would take the alcohol, and she'd go and find her a 25-cent bottle, and she would not touch the good stuff. And I thought about it, and I'm saying, I'm wondering, did she want to get rid of me? Is the reason that she did that? And I harbored that, sister. I would have letters. I would talk to my mom and spirit. It hurt me so bad, and I would cuss, and I would wonder, why would you do this? I mean, you know, I was in the hospital. I lived in the hospital. I was in the hospital so much. And all of these things. However, when I started getting it wrapped around my head and overstanding and understanding again that we choose our parents, and going through all the information that Dr. Stanley had rolling over there in surprise at the Red Tent International, I called it, I began my healing in 09 and listening through to Abraham and conversations with God, all of these people I had been introduced to. The Silva Method with Jose Silva, all, you name it. Dr. Stanley had it rolling up in her home at the time. And that girl would not leave me freaking alone. She bugged me so much, I just submitted and I said, okay, I'm going to listen to Thayer, all of it, Beckwith. All of it. And this was the beginning of me letting go and even forgiving those ones who molested me. My youngest, my sister who was on the other side, Shirley, I couldn't get to her to let her know I forgave her. I had no ill feelings. I held it against her, her dad molesting me. And my mom not doing anything about it. My mom continued to still date him. And every time I would look at my baby sister, Shirley, I would see her dad. And It was awful. I couldn't even begin to tell you how hard it was for me, sister, to do those exercises, to forgive my mom for putting me in that situation, for drinking, for creating these anomalies, all of it. My baby sister, who drank and drugged herself, cracked herself. She was 40 when she left the building in Seattle. I'm looking at her right now at 3 years old on the picture. And I had to be sent by my dad to Dr. Stanley, who had all of this information in the Lyceum, the library, waiting for me to revisit, to pull those onion layers away so that the forgiveness could blossom. And if my mom were here today, and in the flesh, she would know that it's cool with she and I, because she's on the other side. You see, when people make their transfer, they see things that they didn't see when they were here in the flesh. And when we need help, y'all, we can actually reach out to them. My brother doesn't come to visit me because these are the conversations that we have. He doesn't like it. It unnerves him. And maybe many other people are unnerved by my conversation. I don't give a shit anymore, sister. I know what I know. I know what I know. I know what I see.
Well, you know what, I think it's one thing to have a personal experience where you can call your ancestors who have transitioned, and then you feel in your heart, mind, body, and soul that you're hearing a response. But maybe it's another thing to have like a seance where you get calling people together, and we're going to call on Uncle Joe, and he's going to come and shake the table. And, you know, we have a lot of Hollywood ideas about what it means to connect to our ancestors and those who have gone on before us. So I think there's a lot of ignorance. Nobody can discount your own personal experience with your mother or father who have gone on and transitioned. But we have this image from Hollywood that, you know, people sit around a table and they do this, quote, unchristian thing and call the dead or something. And so maybe we need to have some clarity and gain overstanding, common standing about this whole idea of communicating with people who have transitioned.
Yes, yes, yes. It's a whole different ball game. I don't know about shaking the tables and carrying on, but I do have, I've had experiences with lights blowing out. And that happened when Deborah Blair made his transition. The doggone light blew out and the picture fell off the wall. And then when I went to my phone, the brother had left me, Brother Beniti, down there over in your neck of the woods in Florida, left me a doggone message. So just wanted to let you know that Dr. Blair has made his transition. I said, what? I said, oh, that's what it was all about. And I knew it was the male energy, but I didn't know who it was. And these kinds of things are going to be more and more prevalent. However, if you're not paying attention and taking notes, it'll go right by you. It will go right by you, sister. And this is what my agenda of this show is about. And again, I give thanks for us because we have nothing to fear. That is what chemtrails and the food and all of this stuff that they're putting in your foods and spraying in to keep you numb and dumbed down so that you cannot hear the communications. All of us, it is nothing special about me. It is that I listen, not all the time. However, it's getting stronger and stronger, my listening abilities, because I've put myself in a position to sit myself down somewhere, whether I want to or not. And I don't watch a lot of TV, hardly at all. And then I keep it covered with dark cloth, and I unplug stuff. When I'm not using it, I unplug it, you see. So I have more time to tune in. Everybody is busy with jobby jobs and this, that, and the other. That's because you are not listening to your higher selves, your mini selves. If you took the time to listen, you would hear all of these things that are placed before us are basically distractions to keep us from hearing.
I believe that's why my sister bonded with deep, deep grief and unforgiveness and guilt about her own child's transition, because we watched a lot of Hollywood movies when I was growing up. And I'm sure, and my sister, my older sister, was even more of a fan of Hollywood productions. And Hollywood teaches people how to respond, in my opinion, incorrectly to death and transitions, so that people put on the black clothing and the widow's covering, and then you're expected to grieve, and then some people stay in that state, and that's what happened with my sister. She stayed in a state of grief for 2 years, and she could not come out of it, and so I can't help but believe that's part of the reason she had to leave the earth at 55. But we have a caller. You want to open up the mic?
Oh, yes.
I think this is Brother Kwame. Your mic is open.
Well, greetings, Sister Viata, and greetings, Miss AZ.
Greetings, Brother Kwame. How are you?
I'm very grateful, and I kind of tuned in a little late, and I caught what you were sharing about, you know, those that don't identify, and how you two were relating to, you know, the communication with the people or those that are crossed over. And it's an inner standing that we have to come by. And yes, Hollywood has glorified it, but now they've made series, you know, of different, even TV series now, of people being able to have that power to communicate and cross over, or those that are gifted. You know, they have television shows and being able to communicate with those ones. These are all gifts because of what we have been given, these new energies of reawakening. But like you said, the part of dumbing down and nanonets and chemtrails and toxic food and water. Because we're water, and water is a conductor, and if you have the right acids and proteins and minerals and crystalline connections, you can be that antenna that can receive those communications from the cosmic, even the earthly ones that are right here beside us. Mm-hmm. Because of what we have been so polluted and toxified, it's hard for us to perceive, you know, these messages as, is this real or is it memorex? Because a lot of times these things are even in our DNA, that when we activate or go to a certain place, you will activate a certain energy that makes that DNA begin to resonate, and you're wondering why you're able to hear these sounds or feel these energies, you know. And even when you have pets, most people that have cats are connecting knowingly or unknowingly with spiritual guardians, because cats are familiar. They can sense and they can see the beings when they're moving and walking through and whatever. Dogs have a kind of a sense, but cats have more of a sense of it. And the thing is that we can still do it because our retinas are made circular, but in you looking sometimes in your peripheral vision, you will see shadows, you will see beings moving beside you. Or if you're a night driver and you're driving on the highway, and you're driving and you see these shadows of somebody standing on the side of the road, or you see these beings that's moving in front of your headlights. These are all parts of our abilities to communicate with the other side, because in essence is that these are energies that either have been stagnated here and haven't gone on, or they're down here to protect, or they're here to guide us. This is why you have the certain realms. You have the archangels, then you have the ascended masters, then you have the clairvoyance, the clairaudience. It's different levels of frequency that we're able to tune into. And these abilities are gifts. And right now I was doing some research because this whole thing about this gamma rays and this energy that's heading to the planet and the shifting of this energy that when it does, the last time it did, it caused major earthquakes and things that happen. And what I'm looking at is trying to find out clarity. Okay, is this all? It's not a hoax, but it's looking at, okay, is this, what's the real details with this energy that's coming in? Because it's going, whatever we get that hits this planet, it's going to boost up the energy of this planet because we're in alignment now in a part of the galaxy we've never been. This is the beginning of the new 26,000 years, and we're getting new cosmic consciousness, new energies coming from different parts of the galaxy, and it's going to affect our consciousness, our awareness, our ability to ascend or descend. You know, so what we're having to do is to be mindful and using the information highway, but also using our inner information highway, because it's in dream time or in that part of learning that we can astral travel or travel to other places. I remember a brother was asking me, he said, man, I go out and I travel to ask, you know, I travel and I say, do you see beings when you're traveling? He said, yeah, man, I'll be passing by them like it ain't nothing. I say, why don't you ever stop and ask them what it is that you need to know is why you see them. And he started to think about that, because when you have that ability and you do go out there in these other realms, when you see these beings, there's a communication that you have with them is why you're being put in that position. The same thing that you hear voices, or the old folks used to say, you know, about the Hanks or the witches riding you, and that's why when you sleep, you're in between worlds. And really the essence is not, there's not a witch riding you. You just see yourself coming out of yourself trying to get back in. And you can't move because you've never experienced your spirit leaving the body as it does every night when you deep sleep.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, Brother Kwame, thank you. Because as a little child, that used to happen to me all of the time. And I guess because of the trauma that I was going through, my body would leave. And I would see myself laying in the bed, and I'm up there on the ceiling. And I mean,
right.
Like, I'm like, whoa, buddy. And then eventually I will settle myself down, and I go back into my body. And I would even have, it would be occasions that I would be sitting in my living room. It was a certain area. Now that I know this, it was a portal there. And I didn't know what that was. It's back then, I was, what, 4 or 5, something like
but
that?
But these are...
Sir?
I just said you're correct, and I was just going to share a story with you, and it's something
Brother Kwame, what happened, I would see a particular person get in my body, a man, and every time I would sit in this particular area in my house at the time that I grew up in, he would sit down in my body, and then he would leave, and I would see him leave, and I would move, and I could feel him, and I'm like, what the heck? And I would tell my mom, and my dad, and they would say, "Oh, Putin, your imagination, you're just imagining things. Girl, go on, get out of here. Go on, get out of here." And they shut me down. They shut me down.
Right, and that's what I was going to share with you, because this story goes about this couple had little boy. He was about 4 or 5 years old, and the mother was pregnant, and she was sharing with the little boy. She says, "Here, come feel your little sister. She's kicking around," and he would start feeling it and looking at it move and that. Then the day came, and the father and the mother were leaving. The grandmother was there with the little boy. And he says, "We're on the way to the hospital to get your little sister, and we'll bring her back to you." And then finally the mother went and had the little girl, and they brought her back home. And the little boy was so excited when he seen his little sister. He was just happy. He says, Mommy, I need to talk to my little sister. I need to talk to my little sister. Please, please, just let me talk to my little sister." And they were nursing and doing. And he says, "Okay, wait. When we get ready to put her to bed, we'll let you know, and then you can talk to your little sister." And so eventually, as the day went on, and the child, he kept asking the mother that he had to talk to the little sister. And finally, they came, and they were putting her down into her room in the crib. And he was running, and he ran up there, and he ran in the room and said, "Mommy, Daddy, I need to talk to my little sister. Leave the talk." And they said, "Okay, you have to be quiet because she's going to sleep." And they turned on the monitor in the room. And so they walked out of the room and left him standing there looking at his little sister laying there in the bassinet. And he ran to the door and he looked out the hall and looked the other way to see if anybody was around. He ran back over to the bassinet and he says, Little sister. "Please tell me what it's still like in the spirit world, because I've been here so long, I'm beginning to forget."
Wow. I hear you now, I did. Yes.
And when you said that when you were a child, you saw that. If you ever look at babies when they're sleeping or when they're just laying there and they smile, old folks always say those angels are tickling their face.
Yes.
So
we have another caller when you're ready.
Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead, sister. Yes.
Okay. Let's see. 480-430, your mic is open.
Oh, thank you. Greetings. This is Lily from AZ. Hey, Mom AZ. Okay. Okay, so I chimed in about 7:30, and I was just astounded to hear that we were talking about forgiving. I have two things I want to mention real quick. Forgiving our parents, and my father passed about exactly a year ago, to probably like 3 days ago, a year ago. And they were pedophiles, my mother and my father, and Choctaw Native American blood on both sides, so I went through
Hold up, Miss Lily. What did you say they were? What did I hear? Wait, say
Choctaw.
That again. I want to know.
They were Choctaw.
What? Okay, they were Choctaw, but they were. You said something else. I heard.
They were pedophiles. Okay, ooh. So my father started, and my mother. So throughout my life, there was just a lot of. She would take beer. Pretty much she would take beer to send people in the room, you know, and I didn't really remember until I was about 30. But one thing I've noticed is when it came out, when I turned 30, that Saturn return, it busted out. And I'm still working through the physical effects of strenuously working to forgive and trying everything I can to forgive and thinking I've done it and realizing that when there's different aches and pains in the body and I sit with the pain, there's those memories, lo and behold. And my mother just had a stroke like about a month ago and she's not doing so good. So I noticed that the timing, and I don't know if it's connected, because he passed a year ago, and now, you know, she's going through what she's going through. So I really appreciate this conversation because my heart started warming. I don't know what was said, but it was just being a part of this circle at this time. It really, really settled my spirit. And also, I guess when I was young, I guess I would be called a medium. So as a child, I started seeing some past life dreams, and throughout my life it kind of escalated and astral traveling and all that great stuff through Buddhism. And then I started realizing that those who had crossed over would want to communicate with me and want to, you know, chime in and talk to me and show themselves, or if there was someone around who had a relative who crossed over, the relative would find that opportune time to come and channel in. And it started getting a little bit sketchy because I didn't know my boundaries, and sometimes they would scare me because they looked like they were decaying. But what I believe is that with the ascension of the planet, those who are stuck in different realms at this time because of the planet, and it's lightening up, we're all lightening up so much that they're looking very fervently, some of them, to cling. They want to find different avenues to stay on board, because a lot of them have to cross over. So we may see a lot of these shadows that Brother Kwame was talking about, because they're it's lifting. There's nowhere else to hide, and it's like their time is up, and they're really kind of frivolously looking for ways to either channel in through people or walk in, you know. One last thing. So I just moved near a graveyard. Right? So, no big deal. Okay, I didn't realize I was near the graveyard until I was taking a walk and like, oh, I'm near a graveyard. Okay, so I'm doing my, I do a Bast invocation. I follow Bast. She's an Egyptian cat goddess, and I, you know, black. So the other night I was lighting my candle, and I was just kind of, you know, speaking to the atmosphere, and everything went, like the lights, everything immediately just boom, everything just went totally out, and I saw that there was a lot of spirits that had been trapped for a while that were trying to, like, just swarming, you know, like a good handful of them. So I'm not certain if for myself, I'm feeling kind of like hazy. My mind is mush right now because there's a lot of energy pulsating through right now, and I'm trying to figure out how to really, really create those safe boundaries. I don't mind communicating with them, you know, if there's a way we can assist them into returning to that light frequency, which they're having to go to anyway without wanting to terrorize or whatever. Some of them may get angry, I'm not certain. But does anyone have any ideas on how to effectively, other than saying, hey, stay within 20 feet from me, yeah, we could talk, but you can't get close to me, because now it's looking like they're not even listening to that. They're kind of like just plowing through anyway. So anybody have any ideas on how I can make that happen effectively?
Let me ask you, is it Lily, L-I-L-L-I-E?
L-I-L-Y, go by L-I-L-Y, mm-hmm.
Lily, L-I-L-Y. Wow, Lily, that's a pretty powerful statement or testimony you just gave. When I think when I'm with Mama Z, I heard pedophile. I'm like, did she say pedophile?
I'm
like, whoa. Well, like I said, I want to ask, did you have siblings? Did you have brothers and sisters?
I did have brothers and sisters, and one of, you know, just, oh, man, the stories are just crazy. One of them stayed on crack her whole life. The other one never had children, and she's suffering from tumors, you know, throughout her body. Then my other sister, you know, just weird, like, you know, like incestual weird stuff kind of floating through the household, you know, just kind of left sort of, even I started noticing blindly that I was attracting these pedophiles and was unaware till later. And I'm like, wait, it was just all like happening without me being aware of what state of what seed had been planted in me. So I'm living this life attracting these pedophiles and blah, blah, blah. No, just into my life until it finally hit the fan when I turned 30. And, yeah, like I said, yeah, my siblings, them too, their lives have just been, but they all kind of, they keep it kind of, you know, keep it together. And we don't, you know, they don't want to talk about it. And it's just one of those things that's kind of getting ready to bubble up, though. So I'm just kind of like, you know, it's getting ready to have to bubble up. And
well, for me, you know, if I were in your situation, the journey I've had so far, I'm 62, and I feel like, for me, the only name that's powerful enough to set boundaries and control is the name Yahweh or Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. And one of the things you could try is just to call on Yahweh, help me. Just three words, Yahweh, help me. Because Yahweh is the tetragrammaton that represents everything in the universe. And so there's a creator that loves you. There's a creator that knows what you're going through. And you have to just call on help, because there, as Mama Z and I were talking, there are angels. In fact, I was doing a study earlier with a friend. We were studying the Torah, and we realized not only do you have mind, body, spirit, but there's a fourth element of angels or messengers. So try calling Yahweh, help me, or Yahuwah, help me. There you're releasing from your mouth, from your voice, that you need assistance. And the assistance will come from the creator of heaven and earth. That's just my suggestion. That's my journey. That's what helps me in every way, is calling on the name that is above all names, in my opinion, Yahuwah or Yahweh. It's Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, the tetragrammaton. The Hebrew letters are powerful to represent oxygen, nitrogen, hydrogen. And then Kwame and Mama AZ, from their experience, they may be able to share something, so I'll let them share.
Thank you, Sister. Yahweh has definitely entered into my life. That name has entered into my life just about a year ago, and it definitely clears that space, and thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Thank us. Mm-hmm.
Thank
God.
Yes, now, Mama Z, I got to remember that. Thank us.
And then there's always so, you know, you said, did you say your parents were Choctaw tribe?
Yeah, my mom was half Choctaw. My great-grandfather was full-blooded Choctaw. And then my great-great-grandfather on my father's side was that Choctaw again. So it came in pretty strong.
So you got to use some sage, some smudging. Are you doing smudging?
Yeah, usually I do. Actually, I need to re-up on my sage. I got to go get another bundle of sage. But just the other night, it just kind of caught me off guard, because I haven't had that experience in a while where it was that many, and it's just like, whoa, is it getting stronger? What just happened? So I definitely need to get some more sage.
right. Yeah. Get the energy.
Yeah. Well, Miss Lily, I'm not sure what Brother Kwame is going to chime in with. However, all I know is let him know you're serious. That you mean business. You don't have time, you know, for no BSing by the freeway, because got things to do. Tell them to go elsewhere, okay?
Yes,
and mean it. I mean, that kind of works for me, but, you know, however, Brother Kwame, you want to chime in?
Well, greetings, Lily. How are you?
Greetings. I'm well. Thank you.
Yeah, good. And thank you for sharing. And I know it's a relief in which you're able to express that feeling of that person that called himself your father that violated your sacred space. And in that, you spoke something. You said his father and his grandfather were Choctaw.
Yeah, my great-grandfather was Choctaw and on my mother's side, and then on my father's side, two generations back with Choctaw.
Okay, and what happens in the genetic line, same thing that happened with those that were sent
to the missionary schools, the intergenerational trauma. Those grandparents and great-grandparents that were abused in the missionary schools as children grew up to be very non-loving and very abusive to their own children. And so that gene has passed down to pass down. And the part of understanding where did it begin, because a person is not born a pedophile.
Right.
There's something that traumatizes as a child. A hurt child grows up to be a hurt person, a hurting person.
Right.
So in that essence is that in him having that experience and no one to guide him out of that mindset as to the sacredness of the union of man and woman, and especially protecting his daughter, because his daughter carries his spirit. And so, in essence, is that he violated his spirit energy that was in you. And the part for you saying and understanding how to forgive you, because you did not violate. You were violated. And the part of that, you have to first own the part that you know, and you said Saturn returned. You got to that third seven. Well, no, you went to your fourth seven, because Saturn returns every 29 years. And so in you having that fourth seven, that first stage of your life and that first seven and those other parts of that energy of violation was a connection to where he was damaged. I guarantee if you could trace back, the damage was done in that part of his life, and it's been passed down, and you've broken the cycle. Your magnetic energy and being a woman, and a woman is magnetic, you draw to you. That's why you're saying you were drawing to these pedophiles, because that was your image of what a father or a man was to be related to for you, until you became aware of what you were doing and began to change that pattern, because you're the cycle breaker. You are the cycle breaker for the family. And being able to talk with the energy that you're talking with, to be able to bring forth all of that emotional, all of that baggage, all of that hurt, and begin the process of change. Because the thing is that you had to first choose to say, I'm going to forgive. Then the part of choosing to say, I'm going to do my life different. And so that is your beginning of the healing process. Those entities that are around you, there are many ways, you know. People used to say, well, you say Jesus, and I say, well, what if it's a Japanese ghost? He don't understand my language. So if you calling out a name, but it's in the energy of when she was saying about the sage, then you can put certain things in which, if it's in your bedroom, sprinkle sea salt and salt across the doorpost, over the top of your doorpost. You don't need much, just put enough over there. You can buy your front door, or you can change. You can put, as the old so you folks used to do, put a glass of water beside your bed or under your bed, because that's why we always say the boogeyman is under the bed, because spirits can hide in there. And the thing is that you can cleanse, and when you smudge your room, once you smudge it, then you put the tools in there that are necessary for protection. A dream catcher catches the bad dreams and the bad entities that are traveling through trying to get to you. They get caught in that web. The other part is that at your front door and your back door, find you some old red bricks. Pound them up and put brick dust at your doorstep, at your doorstop. Because that the entities of evil out because of the red earth and that part. And then the other thing that you can do also is that you don't have a mirror facing your bed, you try to look at your feng shui. Put a mirror somewhere that's facing entities come through windows and doors. And if you put mirror to where they see themselves, they scare themselves and they go back. These are all tools that you can use in being able to create your sanctuary, because your home is your sanctuary. You have to be able to arm the sanctuary, and then the other thing is to wear certain crystal energy or keep certain crystals on you.
Mm-hmm.
And keep, you know, copper or silver or gold, because those are the frequencies that help your body to transmit and receive. That's why in the movies they always showed you when the vampire comes, you did what? You use what? Garlic.
Mm-hmm.
Or you use the cross. There are certain things. You kill a werewolf with a silver bullet, because silver is what? It's the second highest conductor of energy, and plus it's an antibiotic. Colloid silver will kill any bacteria.
Mm.
So it's learning to use the tools, and if you can, put a candle and an altar of your ancestors and put a candle, those 7-day candles, and keep a candle burning, because you will keep them, the light of them, in that space.
Mm-hmm.
Mine sits on my refrigerator with my great-great-great-great-grandmother's picture and my grandfather's hat and all the other ancestors that I put up there. I keep a 7-day candle burning.
Mm-hmm.
I buy a case of 24 candles, and when they go out after 7 days, I put another one, and never let it go out. You transfer the energy from, you take a stick of incense, and you just stick it down in there. When it's starting to go out, take it out, light it, and you do that. But also you have to learn how to dress a candle, dressing candles and using Florida water or sacred herbs, and that you dress that candle with a prayer as you're praying with it before you light it. And you turn it to your left, because you're turning it towards the heart.
Hmm.
So, Lily, how are you on? Are you forgiving both your parents? How are you doing on forgiving both your parents?
I love them so much. I love them. I thought I did forgive them. I understand that I chose them. I understand that because of it, it gives me more apathy and understanding for others who are experiencing that. But the physical effect, something's not connecting, because I'm thinking I forgive them, but then when I have these physical pains and tugs, then these memories start coming, and there's a little tinge of unforgiveness. And I'm thinking, but wait, I'm not upset. I wish I had a relationship with my father, or I wish my mother, you know, that, I don't know, I just, she's the coolest person in the world to me, you know, I'm not angry with them, I just don't know, I thought I forgave them is what I'm saying, but the reason I don't think I have is because of the physical, there's like some kind of heart center thing that's not quite, something, you know what I mean, something caught on a couple years ago, and it's not quite healing. And it's connected
to
that.
All right, Lily. And Deandra, that was an excellent question. The question that I asked, the part of man saying, have you forgiven you? But the other part of you, there's a little girl inside of you. You know her.
Mm-hmm.
And
she
was one who experienced that. She's still down there hiding in the corner, all balled up. That's those feelings you get when you bring your mother up in thought, and she sees that person, she cringes and she goes back into that fetal position because she's afraid. You have to reach down inside of you, and you have to become her mother. And you have to say, I'm not going to let anyone else hurt you. We're going to grow together. I forgive us. That little girl down inside of you, that was done to, all of those things were done to, she's still in there. She's still hiding in that little fetal position, hurting. You've grown up to be a woman, and that little girl is still down there hiding. You have to deal with the inner child.
that little girl is still feeling the pains and the things in which she didn't understand, which you've come to understand in your Saturn return as the woman. But that child that was, that body grew into the woman, but that little child is still in there. How is it that when we go to bed and things are wrong with us and you find yourself when you wake up, you're in a fetal position? You only go in the fetal position when you are afraid of something. You go back into that safe place where you want to be safe. You curl up in a fetal position. When you beat a person and they fall to the ground, the first thing they do is curl up in the fetal position.
Are you familiar with EFT, emotional freedom techniques?
Yeah, I am. I'm familiar with that one. I don't where you tap in and you're and I yes. and I'm kind of I'm more diligent with that practice where you know again I've come really far, but the inner child and hey, I even practice inner child, you know, not teachings, but I tell other people about the inner child and but I thought but wow, like. Okay, my inner child is still, I'm not really attentive to her, I guess, because that makes sense. If I'm still, it's like it's too fresh still. It's almost like I revert to that little girl sometimes, and that makes total sense that I would have to be, that's it. That's the next move is to really, that's the next step of my healing is to go to her and to begin to, because I don't spend much time talking to her, and I need to really, because she apparently not, she's not happy at anything.
She's not comfortable being that woman that you've become. She's not grown into that. She's still hiding because she still remembers her pain. The thing that Alexis Taylor, she's got a YouTube, but she does the thing. But when she was talking about her abuse and what happened to her and she had to go in and discover her child, she said she had to go out and buy a bat and ball and some jacks, things that she knew that that little girl, when she was a little girl, she liked to do. And she would just get alone and she would sit in the room and just play with them and talk to her because she needs love. That wasn't love that was given to her. That was lust.
Oh, wow.
Love and lust are two different things.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, goodness, this conversation.
And you can take that awareness that Kwame's giving you and tap on it. Tapping is all about using your fingers, your hands, to release from your meridians the awareness you have about your little girl self. Now that you have some new insight about your little girl self, use that to let go of in your meridians on your face with the tapping, and then find peace when you can grab your wrist and take a deep breath and find peace after every tapping round. So use that knowledge now that you have about that little girl in you and let it go with your tapping. Use that together.
But the other, and that those are, these are all suggestions of things to work. I'm not a woman, but I've known women, and I was married to a woman that was abused and worked with her through her abuse. And the most difficult part of what we had to experience when we were together, as my wife, was the part of healing her wound. Because that energy that's placed inside of that sacred space, that residue lives there. It has to be cleansed and it has to be purged out of there, because every time that you know, there was a frigidity that happened, if you touched her a certain way, she would react and it would turn everything off. We had to learn that those were the signals that her body remembered. In her womb. And these are the parts of yourself in which you have to work with that little girl in helping to heal her, because that damage that was done at that young age is remembered. The body remembers. The brain remembers. It doesn't know. You could begin to listen to that story of you and your... and you would have the whole sensation and pains of everything that you felt would come to you because your brain doesn't know what's real and what's not real. When it hears the energy of void, it automatically creates the sensations and feelings and response.
Brother Kwame, I have a question.
You want an answer?
I don't know.
Well,
and thank you, Miss Lily, for being so true, authentic. You know, Brother Kwame,
see what you get for asking for a show, Miss AZ?
that's right.
All right.
You asked for it.
And Miss Lily, okay, my mom and my dad, you know, they had friends in Mexico and was really tight with the Mexicans and the Indian people. And when people came to work for us or just to be with my parents who were Indian and Mexican, it's like they were perverts. And it seemed like, are you saying, Brother Kwame, that most of those ones, the Indian people, because they were so perverted,
we as indigenous Aboriginal people have been through the most worst of atrocities. Those brothers and sisters that were on those slave ships coming to this land were raped and done to and abused, and they were raped and abused. They were raped and abused by missionaries. They were raped and abused by oppressors. So in that you have this ism, which is the ill sick mind. This is the beast. These are things in Africa. It was not, if you touched a child, you were killed. That was the way we dealt with that. We didn't talk about, you're a pedophile or you're this, and you get a spank on the hand and you get sent to another church. You left this world because you're violating the most precious gift, which is the Creator, and then the next one is a child.
Let me interrupt for a minute because I only scheduled this show for 90 minutes. So if you're listening online, we're going to drop off in 90 seconds. But if you're on the phone, we'll continue to have the show. So you need to call in to 215-383-5863 if you're listening online because we're going to go over the 90 minutes, but we'll stay on the phone for another 5 or 10 minutes. Go ahead, Kwame.
Yeah,
okay.
But all of that was, and this is generational. This is why they're talking about intergenerational DNA strands. This is with your DNA has memory, and certain things will activate that memory in your DNA. No, you may not have never been, but it's, if your grandfather or your grandmother or somebody in your family line was abused, guess what? You carry that gene.
So then what you're saying, Brother Kwame, because my parents, you know, would bring these people in and I'd try to tell them, but they didn't listen. So you're saying that it's possible they didn't listen because of the alcohol, but not only the alcohol, it is that they were kind of familiar, and it those kinds of things did not traumatize them.
You have to ask the question, what was the overuse of alcohol for them as a stimulant? What were they covering up? What were they deadening the pain of?
Okay.
What were they using something to deaden the pain in them as a woman and a man? There's reasons is when you besides becoming a social drinker, those people that drink excessively have dealt with issues in themselves as a child or as somewhere in their life that they're trying to deaden that pain because alcohol, when you remove the color and the other parts of it, it's nothing but ether. This is why people are sitting in penitentiary right now, don't know if they committed a crime or not because the brain shuts down, it protects itself. You're running on automatic pilot. That's why they put on the side of the bottle spirits. Those are spirits. Those are not good spirits. Those are man-made spirits that anesthetize the human brain in order for you not to feel.
Thank us, Brother Foreman. Thank us again, Miss Lily. Thank us, Sister Beata.
But I thank
yes,
the energy of this full moon because it's brought this part of us as existing. We don't usually put this into to conversation, but it's time. It has to come to light. We need to see that these two faces that we wear, and that's what Gemini is, the genus, the two faces, the twins, there's the good and the bad. Which one do you see?
Hallelujah. Yes. This is so true. Oh my. So I just want to say a closing prayer. We're over time, but I want to thank our creator and the planetary universe, cosmos. We thank Yahuwah for bringing us all together tonight to hear these voices. And I speak healing over Lily especially. Speak healing over everyone listening to the sound of my voice. Because as Brother Kwame spoke, the new moon has activated our voices and our love and compassion to bring all this about and to help us all to face what we need to face and to let it go and let the love and compassion and healing energy flow through every one of us. And so let it be. As it is in heaven, it will be on earth. Thank you. We give praise and say hallelujah, hallelujah. So any closing remarks, Mama AZ or Kwame or Lily?
Well, the full moon. It's the super full moon. And it's the closest moon. This is why we have this high energy of revealing truth. This is why Lily, who is the name of Lilith, who is the black moon.
Get out of here, Brother Kwame. That's right. That's right. Did you know that, Miss Lily?
Thank you, Miss Lily.
I did not know that she was the black. I didn't know that about her, no.
Yes, yes. Thank us, Brother Kwame, for reminding me. You know, Mama Maga talks a lot about that, Sister Viata. So this is it. I give thanks to my allowing me to come today.
She's also the moon of the sexual desire. She goes around and she arouses the desire in dream time in men and women. She is the sexual goddess.
It's definitely something. Seems like I've been dealing with Lilith. That might be my contract with my parents and all this sexual stuff, probably because I have a contract with her to karmically. But no, I know she was. I didn't know she was. I didn't know that moon aspect of.
Google Lilith and read about her, and you'll see where your energies is what you come here to do and correct because. As I said earlier, you're here to end the cycle.
Wow.
And play with that little girl.
I want to play. She started chiming in right away, and I'm like, okay, that was the right answer then. Thank you so much.
Come to see me, Miss Lily.
Thank us. Everybody.
Yeah.
All right.
Everybody
thank you.